This is Jorge Gamebred Masvidal, the baddest motherfucker and the fighter of the year, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, it's not bad.
That's your
liner's good. All right, Felice Spencer coming up momentarily, so I'm going to let you pick.
Yes.
What happened at the XFL?
Okay.
What happened at the bank?
Okay.
Or what happened online regarding Jameis Winston?
Let's go. Well, I heard bank issues last week, so let's go with Jameis Winston.
Well, this one's even better. But okay, Jameis Winston.
Okay.
So somebody put up in a Buccaneer fan post
club,
or club or whatever
page.
that the Buccaneers are not treating Jameis Winston properly because Bruce Arians made the comment that him and Jason Light know what's going they're going to do,
okay,
but Jameis Winston doesn't.
Okay.
So this person posted that Jameis Winston is willing to give his life up for this team.
Oh, really?
I said, what?
I don't think he's going to lose his life for a football game.
Yeah, unless you're Chris Sims, because it did almost happen to Chris Sims.
Really?
Oh, yeah, when he punctured his lung or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was bad, and he finished the game.
Wow.
And then went across the street to the hospital. But, you know, the lady's like, well, it's just a figment of speech.
Okay.
It didn't mean, well, then don't say it.
Right.
Because, ironically, as we're talking to the UFC fighters who are fighting in Norfolk this weekend, these are people that, whether they want to or not, they could lose their life.
The military. Sure.
I've always made the joke that I forgot when I raised my right hand that it says in there, I'm willing to lay my life down. Like, you tend to forget that sometimes.
The ultimate blank check.
Yeah, I mean, it is the ultimate blank check.
Up to everything,
check.
Including yeah. your life.
So, to me, that's another one of those overused words like legend.
Sure.
I'm willing to die. Are you? We once had Pat Barry on.
Okay.
He always had Pat Barry. You know, he goes, I'm not willing to lose my life in a fight.
Sure.
I'm not willing to fight for free.
Right.
You know, people are, I'd fight for free because I'll never fight for free.
Well, Tito did. Tito Ortiz, there's certain people out there that actually are willing to die and fight for free.
But who's willing to die? I still don't, I don't buy it.
I don't know.
I've always said, and next time I get to talk to Deontay Wilder, I'll talk to him about it. I don't think they're willing to die. I think they're aware they could die.
Right. They know that there's a possibility.
That is a possibility. Sure. It's a possibility leaving in the rain here from Torta Pizza.
Absolutely.
I could get hit in the car and whatever.
Of course.
So
it's way more dangerous than a car. I mean, the likelihood of being injured in a car, I don't know why we don't wear helmets inside a car. You probably have a lot of less brain damage if you were in an accident.
I want Ryan Newman's car if I'm going to drive around.
That guy saved his own life.
He did.
Unbelievable story.
He was an engineer.
Yeah.
Is an engineer from Purdue.
Sure.
And he helped devise that additional bar that, in fact, did save his life.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's a lot of, you know, it says a lot about college and college educations. What a great segue.
Yeah, of course.
Let's welcome back to the program UFC grad, Felisa Spencer. Felisa, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for your time. What's fight week like? I know it just started, but what's a typical fight week?
A typical fight week? It's actually relatively laid back. It's kind of a nice break because I normally have a teaching job along with training that keeps me extremely busy, so it's kind of a relaxing week, aside from the initial, you know, weight cut part of it. But, right now I'm just in the hotel, just did some media and some, you know, video stuff, and the weight cut will really get serious tomorrow. So it's really just all about staying healthy, you know, staying clear-minded and preparing for Saturday.
I always ask the athletes when they come on, you know, it's a work trip. I get that. But do you have the opportunity to get out a little bit? And I've been talking a lot about Norfolk and Damnick and Little Creek and it being such a huge military presence. Will you have any opportunities to get out, maybe, you know, see some of the sites, maybe get on a base and see one of the ships, anything like that?
Yeah, I always try to make a point of exploring, you know, whatever I can. And we're actually I'm going to be done with some of the obligations I have at about 4:00. So I think the rest of my night is relatively open. So I'm probably going to go do some sightseeing and at least get to drive around and go check out some places and hopefully repeat it, you know, do a couple more hours tomorrow and you know, I always try to stay the day after my fight. I always try to stay a little bit, you know, get a flight that's leaving in the evening so I can have that day to kind of explore and just go hang out, you know, go to some restaurants and stuff and have a good time with my team.
I know we don't like to do that. I know we don't like to talk a lot about food, you know, when fighters are getting ready to lose, you know,
cut weight. Oh, I love it. Don't worry.
but there are some great restaurants in great seafood restaurants in the Norfolk area.
Oh yeah, I would expect that. Yeah, I'm definitely excited for Sunday to, you know, to be able to chow down on some good food.
All right. One of the questions I love to ask, kind of on off the wallish. Since we talked a little bit about food, you're going to go out and eat on Sunday. If you could have four people over to the house or, you know, at the restaurant or whatever for dinner, they cannot be family and it cannot be team members and people you train with, living, passed away, real or fictitious. What four people would you want to have some food with?
Wow, that's fictitious too. That really opens the door. Oh man, those are always such hard questions. Like I said, I think it'd be cool. I don't have a specific name in mind, but someone from history, you know, someone that can just give some perspective on a piece of their time, you know, where they came from and whatnot. So I don't know, like someone maybe from Native America, you know, or something like that. I guess I don't have a really good answer, but to learn from someone would be really cool.
Cool. And I added the fictitious part into it because if it was me, I want to, you know, share a pizza with Rocky Balboa.
Not Sylvester Stallone. Not him. You want the persona. I get that.
Right,
yeah. it would be really cool to be able to eat with some of, some of the actors like The Rock or even Gina Carano. She's one of my favorites that I like to talk about for like athletes and stuff. I think sharing a meal with those people would be fun. I'm trying to think. I usually like the TV that I watch is usually like just goofy, silly stuff like cartoons. So like the kids from South Park, you know, that kind of thing. But I just don't know if I would want to eat with them.
Well, it would be entertaining.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know how the conversation would go, but it would definitely be entertaining. How will you pass the week, you know, getting ready for Saturday? Do you want to think about the fight? Do you want to try to do as much as possible between the, you know, the obligations and the rest and getting out and forget about, you know, the opponent and the fight? Or do you want to kind of think about it?
It's a mixture, actually. You know, when I'm like having some moments of peace and, you know, sitting in the hotel or like, you know, just resting a little bit, I really do like to kind of sort of like a meditation. Like I like to visualize a lot and think about the moments that could happen in the fight. But then the rest of it is usually just very lighthearted, and I'm not like intentionally not thinking about it or trying to avoid it. But it's definitely something that, you know, I just like to have a relaxing, good, you know, good time. And but I like to have those moments, have a, you know, a good number of them throughout the day or in the evening to just kind of visualize too. So I think that's an important thing to include in the week.
I would imagine, at least this is what happens to me when I try not to think about something so strongly, I can't stop thinking about it.
Right. And then I don't try to fight it. Like if I'm thinking about it, then I'll just go sit and think about it and it's fine. And then I'm done. Like I've been pretty good about not dwelling on things, and I'm not stressed really about it. So if it comes to mind, it's in my mind and that's fine. And if it's not, I'm not fighting it if it comes to my mind. And if it's not, then cool, I'll just kind of go about my day. So, you know, focus on what I have to do, but, I don't try to fight myself with my head. Like I don't fight with my own head too much about it. I think it's good to just kind of go with the flow a little bit.
When you are allowed, and I know with the Reebok deal, you know, you have to wear Reebok, you know, around the official events and such, but have you ever caught yourself or do you wear a UCF hat while you're walking around? Because when my daughter went there, and I don't know if I told you this last time, when I would go to a UFC fight, I would wear a UCF hat. And when I would go see her or go to the game or whatever, I would wear a UFC hat at UCF.
That's funny. I don't think that's happened. I don't have a whole lot of UCF gear. When I was a student there, I was Definitely a little more broke because I didn't buy a lot of stuff there. But I guess in hindsight, I should totally go buy some more stuff and rock it a little bit more often. It's definitely something I support. You know, I definitely love the school that I went to, and it'd be fun to mix it up a little bit.
As a student there, I was in the press box for a couple of games, and I honestly thought the building was going to fall down. Did you guys ever think that the stadium was going to fall down?
I'm pretty confident with the engineering, you know.
I don't know.
School. Like, I don't know, yeah. I mean, I was always pretty confident with stuff. I trusted it pretty good, I guess. I wasn't there as often as other students, though, so maybe there were some days that were a little extra crazy.
Yeah, it was definitely scary. All right, let's talk for a second. For the reason that you are on the show, we are going to talk about you getting back in the octagon Saturday night. What can you tell us about your opponent?
My opponent, her name is Zara. She's from France, actually. This is an interesting little tidbit. She's more known as a striker. I feel like in this fight, a lot of people are kind of underestimating her. You know, she came off of a loss in her UFC debut, and I feel like she has a lot of skills that she can bring to the table aside from striking. I think she is better on the ground than she's been able to show in her outings. And, you know, with all that being said, with her being a tall, long striker and everything, I feel like I can really bring my best to the fight on Saturday, and I'll be comfortable wherever it goes. And I feel like the key for me is to be able to take the fight wherever I want it, you know, staying on the feet, you know, taking to the ground, going left, going right, you know. But I do feel comfortable to see what happens on our feet as well, even though I'm more so known as a ground fighter and she's more so known as a stand-up fighter.
You know, I've always kind of joked when people, whether it's fans or media or even fighters, talk about game plans, you know, kind of like it goes back to the Mike Tyson, everybody has a game plan until they get punched in the face. How can you have a game plan when you really don't know what they're going to do and you really don't know what you're going to respond to whatever they're going to do? It's kind of like when people say, send me your first 10 questions to have the guest on. I don't know how you're going to answer the first question. How do I know what my second question is going to be?
Right, exactly. And it's definitely a good point. And I'd say, you know, what it comes down to is just drilling your body to react in certain ways when things happen and not to necessarily plan on something happening. I guess maybe they should call it something else than a game plan. You know, just being ready to react, because really a lot of time when you're in there, it's kind of like you're on autopilot for some of it. You know, it's like, this is just happening and your body's moving because you've been doing this for so long and you've done this a million times. So it's just another time that you're doing it. So it's not like you're going to bring something new to the table. Usually, I guess sometimes it happens, but yeah, just training yourself to move a certain way when something happens and to, you know, react a certain way is really the key for planning, you know, planning how it goes. And the rest of it is, like you said, just kind of depends on how things go.
What's going through your mind? What are you thinking? Are you thinking while a fight is going on? You know, it's what you've been doing. It's what you've done. It kind of on, like you said, autopilot. Are you able to think about something else? Have you ever caught yourself thinking about something else in the middle of a fight?
No, I can't say that I have, but I do. So there are a lot of fights where I have a lot of moments of clarity where I'm like very in the moment and I'm very able to like think to myself what I should be doing. And then a lot of other moments are like I said, kind of like just I'm just there just doing it, like I'm, like I said, autopilot almost. But I do know some fighters will be, you know, something will pop into their head, or like they'll look out into the crowd or look up at the monitor to see like they're there enough that they think to look up at the TV screen of what's going on, you know, or the time. I've never once thought to look at the time that's left or to look up at the corners or anything. So it's definitely something that happens with a lot of fighters to be distracted or to think of something else, but can't say that I've had a lot of that happen for me.
What can we expect to see in your fight Saturday night on ESPN Plus?
You can definitely expect to see the best, you know, the best that I have come on the table. I plan to show up and make an exciting fight. Well, more so, you know, I do plan to finish her in the first round. You know, that's why I'm here. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a statement in this fight. I'm not going to rush anything, but I really feel like her skill set and my skill set will make a very exciting mashup, and I'll be able to get a good victory.
Cannot wait. Saturday night on ESPN Plus. Felisa, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as, since we talked a little bit of food, we're going to send you some Wicked Good Cupcakes as well.
Oh, awesome. That sounds great. Thank you, then.
Thank you for your time. Enjoy Saturday night, and we'll talk to you again soon, and go Knights.
Thank you. Go Knights.
My daughter loves that I'm talking UCF.
You love the Knights.
It's not that I love the Knights. I didn't go there.
I bet you would have no problem staying in a stadium built by a Purdue engineer.
I'm telling you, go to a game. Go to something. I have never been so scared in my life.
You thought it was just going to crumble. Like
I've had guns pointed at me in Brazil. Okay?
That's normal. Everybody's had that.
I was hanging on the side of a mountain in Brazil,
okay,
in Rio, when we hiked the mountain. And I wasn't as scared as when I was in that press box at Bright House, now Spectrum Field.
Really?
It's called the Bounce House.
Oh, really?
Because it literally...
Why? Was it built on quicksand?
I don't know. I'm afraid to ask.
Is it on a sinkhole? What is it?
And, you know, the press box at Spectrum, I'm sure that's what it's called now, is pretty high. I want to be down on the bottom. Because when it falls, I want to be able to walk. It's kind of like, you know, the Coast Guard thing. You know, you have to be 6 feet or taller to be in the Coast Guard, right?
No.
Yeah, that way, when the ship sinks, you can walk back to shore.
Okay.
Okay, be in the Navy, blah, blah, blah. So I want to be as close to the ground already, so when that stadium falls down, I will get you to get, whether I have to buy a ticket or whether I can fake you as media.
Oh, yeah. I play pretty good. Play it off well.
It's scary.
It is, isn't it? Pretty good.
Both, that you can play it off and the other. All right, let's go hit this break. When we come back, let's get our BKFC update with the president, David Feldman. A lot of cool stuff going on. The Miami event now over. Kansas right around the corner. I'm going to Birmingham. I can't wait to go hit Alabama and see what's going on there. Dave Feldman, your president, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Song. Jesse's got himself a girl, and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving with that body. I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know I wish that I had Jesse's girl. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network. Hey everybody, Ryan Bader here, Bellator heavyweight and light heavyweight champion. You're listening to Knockout Radio with that ugly man over here, Randy.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Are you a fan of MTV's hit show, The Challenge? Well, on Saturday, April 4th, Challenge Mania Live is coming to the Tampa Improv. You can see cast members from the show live on stage talking about their experience, and you can even party with them before at an exclusive meet and greet. It's at the Tampa Improv on Saturday, April 4th, hosted by three-time champion Derek Kaczynski and his podcast co-host Scott Yeager. They'll feature Mark Long, Killa Cam Williams, Nicole Ramos, and the Final Reckoning champ, Hunter Barfield. Tickets available at ChallengeMania.com. Live.
Have you heard about this crazy event called Rugged Maniac? It's coming to Tampa for the first time ever on April 18th. They built this huge adult playground with giant water slides, fire jumps, rope swings, and tons of mud. Then they let 5,000 people party all day at their festival, complete with DJs, interactive games, and tons of craft beer. It's seriously the wildest event coming to Tampa this year, and the best part, there's still space available to sign up. Go to ruggedmaniac.com and secure your spot for their Tampa race on April 18th. Don't miss out. Grab your friends and join the fun.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Valspar Championship is back and bigger than ever with Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, and back-to-back defending champion Paul Casey. March 16th through the 22nd at Innisbrook Resort's Copperhead Course. And country music star Chris Young performs Saturday night with special guests Big and Rich, the top golfers in the world, topped off with a day of fun and entertainment for the whole family. The Valspar Championship. For tickets, parking passes, and more, visit valsparchampionship.com.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Kamaru Usman, a.k.a. the Nigerian Nightmare here, and you are listening to Knockout Radio.
All right. We are back coming to you live. You know, I love haters.
Okay.
You know, haters of this program, haters of sports, haters. They continue to say, you can't.
Right.
And our next guest continues to laugh privately and does and does and does. Let's welcome back to the program in the official BKFC segment, your president, Dave Feldman. Dave, how are you, sir?
Hey, Randy, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time, and big things continue to happen. Every time you come on the show, every time you do other shows and other media, you talk about things that are going to happen, and 2 weeks later, things continue to happen. It's amazing.
Yeah, man, we're just working really hard. I mean, you know, we did our South Florida debut on February 15th, and it was gangbusters. Great fights. The energy was great. The fans loved it. You know, we had Hector Lombard as the main event, who I'm actually sitting with here. I'm going to pass him over to you in a little bit, just to recap for a minute. But he'll be back on, and we've got some real special things planned for March, April, May, June, July, you know, all the way into the end of the summer, and then we're going to really gear up for what's coming in 2021. It's going to be just an amazing year. I just really can't even believe where we are right now.
Talk about, you know, some of the other fights in on my namesake. He's the best Harris ever, Caleb Harris. Talk about his fight and how active he wants to continue to be and the kind of fighter that he is as well for you guys.
I think he kind of personifies with what Bare Knuckle is really all about. It's about, it doesn't matter what kind of MMA record you had or what kind of boxing record you had. What matters is when you come in there to the squared circle and you're ready to throw down. And he is. He was a more than a 3-1 underdog in that fight, and he just kept coming. You know, I'm not going to say he exposed Jim Allers, but he kind of, you know, opened up that Jim Allers is a great fighter, but, you know, Caleb Harris just has the heart and has the tenacity to really do good things. I think once he gets just a little bit more skilled as he's working on his boxing skills, you know, this is a long-term plan with him. So I think, you know, 18 months, 2 years from now, he could be one of the best bare-knuckle fighters out there.
Well, and it's interesting that you say it's a long-term plan. That's also what you guys have at BKFC. You know, this is, you know, we're just over a year into it. And it's a long-term plan to build this with fighters, and you've told me that numerous times. It's not just getting the names like Hector Lombard, who you're sitting with. It's building names as well, and that's what you're doing with somebody like Caleb and Jim Allers.
No, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, as I always told you, the key to this is getting the bigger names on so people tune in to watch it. And why they're watching it, they're watching these younger guys come out and fight their butts off to become the next big thing in bare knuckle, and that's just what's happening. I mean, this guy was just the co-main event. You know, a year ago, nobody even knew who he was. Now he was the co-main event, and then he's going to come back. He's going to, you know, he might even be the main event on one of the next cards, a smaller show that we're going to be the main event now. So there's just so much room to grow for these fighters, and we're giving them the platform to do that. And you're doing what I demand, and you know what I demand, and you're a fan of what I demand. I demand they go out there and give it all, and they let nothing, you know, leave nothing behind. They let it all hang out, and that's what's happening with these guys. And those are the kind of guys that we're going to build into the next big thing and the next star in bare knuckle.
You know, we've talked numerous times about, you know, the amount of fighters that reach out to you and the process that it takes you and your staff to decide, you know, who is, who isn't, who do we do, who don't we do. Talk to me for a second about the decisions on locations as well. You've been to Florida, I think, 3 times now. You're coming back the 4th. How do you decide, I want to try a new market, I want to go back to where it's been successful?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to really use that we were stuck in certain places, but we were limited. We were limited in certain locations that we had to go to. And, you know, any product, I don't care if it's the most exciting thing in the world, if you do it time and month and month and month after month after month, it's going to get stale in that place. So we were able to open up these new locations and just expand. Not that it's in Florida where it's anywhere else, but there's a huge, you know, demographic here. There's so many people here in Florida. The population is 20 times what it is in Biloxi and 100 times what it is in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So because the population is so big, it makes so much sense to go to places like this. And, yeah, we are coming back May 16th, and, you know, we do have a breaking news signing that some people have heard about a little bit, but we didn't really officially announce it. But Shannon Briggs, former 2-time heavyweight champion of the world, will be fighting on that May 16th card, and we're going to announce the location in about a week. But May 16th is going to be in Miami. We have a phenomenal location that we're partnering with. The contract's not signed yet, so I can't announce it. But Shannon Briggs will take the gloves off and fight for Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship.
Wow.
That's huge.
And I know that that's something that you've been working on for quite some time. And I saw that he's, you know, put some stuff out about the possibility of it. So with that said, do you know yet who his opponent's going to be?
I don't. We're going over a couple different names now, and we hope by the time we announce the event, we'll have that solidified within about a week to 10 days. We have a couple of guys that kind of make sense. One of the guys he was calling out was Rico Rodriguez, so we're in talks with him. He liked the fact that he was a former UFC champion, and you know, he thought he could get a good PR play off that, and he may. But I just want to make sure, again, that we deliver to the fans and that the fights are the right fights. And no matter what your name is, that you're going out there and fighting. Like Hector Lombard is a name, but he went out there, he's a little tentative in the first round, and then he started opening up and he delivered, you know, a pretty damn good performance for his first time in bare knuckle. And that's what we expect, and that's what we're going to build with him as well.
Before you pass the phone over to Hector, just to respond to what you just said, when I saw Shannon call out Rico Rodriguez, I texted him instantly. And, you know, and are you interested? And he said that he would be on the phone with you shortly. So, you know, I'm sure you guys have already talked because this was, you know, a little while ago. But it's interesting. And Rico has a name as well, and he has, you know, the former this and the former that, just like Shannon Briggs. So a lot of good things, just like you've said from day one, continue to happen at BKFC.
No, absolutely. And then we have this card coming up in 2 weeks, Saturday, March 14th, in Wichita, Kansas, at the Intrust Bank Arena, live on pay-per-view. We have Nico Rodriguez, Olympic bronze medals, the current Olympic bronze medal, 2016. We also have Dave the Caveman Rickles, the longest reigning Bellator fighter in history. We have Dakota Cochran's coming back. He's going to step up and fight Melvin Gallard, so that's going to be a really great fight. We have Josh Neer is fighting a guy, Ronnie Forney, who came out and fought really, really tough for us. And, of course, we have the rematch of the best women's fight we ever did with bare knuckle, Helen Peralta versus Christine Fiera for the BKFC Women's Featherweight Championship.
It's got to make, you know, and we joke about this, you and I, all the time, but it's got to make your job fairly easy when it's some of these names that continue to produce, win, lose, or draw, they continue to produce and, you know, put on an entertaining fight.
Yeah, no, it does make my job easier. You know, the problem that we're having is we're growing, and who are we putting on next? Are we going to use the guys that already fought great? We want to do that. Like, some people criticize me, why would you do this rematch already? Because what do? We give the fans what they want. And the fans want to see great fights. That was a great fight. That can't be a bad fight. That fight, no matter where you do it or when you do it, that can't be a bad fight. So we're giving the fans the great fights. And then we're coming back after that show, April 11th, our first time in another new state, Birmingham, Alabama. And the main event there is going to be one of our future stars of Bare Knuckle. Marcel Stanz will be the main event, and he'll be battling UFC legend, one of my favorite fighters of all time, Chris Leben. So that's going to be another sensational match for April 11th. So we have a lot of things lined up. And then just move down the road just a little bit, July 11th. We break it into New York. We're going to be doing our first show in the state of New York at the Seneca Allegheny Casino Resort. And, you know, we expect to be opened up in New York shortly after because, you know, we're doing things right. We're doing great things, and we're putting on exciting stuff. And just, I couldn't be any happier of the growth of this company and where it is right now. You know, the popularity of this thing has just completely exploded, and I never imagined that I would walk down the street and wear a bare knuckle hat and people would be like, oh my God, I watched that. That stuff's awesome. So, you know, it's just, it's great for us. It's great for the company, and it's great for the fans.
It's definitely good stuff. We are almost out of time. So if we have 30 seconds or so to ask Hector
say
about
that. Hector real quick. Hold on 1 second. Here you go. Hector
Randy. Reaching out to Hector.
How you doing?
Hey Hector, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
We spoke in Vegas at the grappling event, and we talked about your upcoming BKFC fight, which was just a week or so ago. Talk about what that experience was like.
I mean, it was the greatest experience I ever had, you know, especially like, you know, after so long that I haven't been in the ring, coming back and get the win in front of my crowd. It was amazing.
You know, we talked about, you know, in the past about you're a fighter. When you're a fighter, it's a fight. But this is still a little different. Did you have to concentrate on, because when Rico Rodriguez first fought that first event, you know, he told me that he once or twice thought about, you know, going to the ground. Is it something that you have to consciously think about that you can't do? It's not MMA. It's bare knuckle.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't want to get hit with bare hands, you know, like, to be honest, sometimes when you do MMA in other sports, you kind of like get lazy and you kind of like don't feel like the danger, which is like, I was like, fuck, I don't want to get hit with, you know, with bare knuckle, you know, I want to be always focused because once you get hit a couple times in bare knuckle, you know, fight's over. And, you know, you got to mess your face up and all that, you know what I mean?
People would always say when you were fighting MMA that they didn't want to fight you. They were scared of you. They were scared of your power. What can that mean now crossing over to bare knuckle? You know, no longer the 4-ounce glove. Now there's no glove getting hit by Hector Lombard.
Oh, man, it's got to be. And especially like even my persona, I'm more focused, more dedicated to the sport than ever. You know, I had a lot of personal problems, but I'm cleaning everything up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Was it everything, the experience, everything that you thought it would be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to fight since I went to the first event that I went in, up in northern Florida. I said, like, yeah, I want to do this. So, yeah, like I said, I'm here to stay.
Good stuff. When can we expect to see you back in the squared circle?
Yeah, very soon. I've been talking to David about it. We want to bring it back here to Florida. Florida, I love bare knuckle, and I want to be part of bare knuckle. You know what I mean?
Very good stuff, Hector. Thank you very much for your time. Will you be up at the World Class Fight League coming up next week?
I beg your pardon?
Are you coming to the MMA event in Tampa next week, or are you going to be out there in Kansas?
I don't see how I'm going to make it.
I don't know if you remember, we talked at World Class Fight League last time, you know, a little bit. I was just asking that up front. Let me put you on hold. We're going to send you another care package from 8-Man Strong. Hope you got the last one. If you didn't, let me know, and we'll send you a double. But pretty sure you got it. You're going to get another package for coming on. Thanks, Hector.
Okay. Thank you.
Hector Lombard in the squared circle.
No,
scary.
It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger by the month.
All right, let's. I think this is our last break of the afternoon. We'll hit this when we come back. Violent Bob Ross coming up.
Yes.
Jimmy Denning, who was at the event, the Wilder Fury fight.
Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
All right.
So we're going to get to both of them in the remaining 18 minutes left on the program. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's up? This is Sean Lights Out Merriman, former Charger, now CEO, co-founder of Lights Out Extreme Fighting, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Are you a fan of MTV's hit show, The Challenge? Well, on Saturday, April 4th, Challenge Mania Live is coming to the Tampa Improv. You can see cast members from the show live on stage talking about their experience, and you can even party with them before at an exclusive meet and greet. It's at the Tampa Improv on Saturday, April 4th, hosted by three-time champion Derek Kaczynski and his podcast co-host Scott Yeager. They'll feature Mark Long, Killa Cam Williams, Nicole Ramos, and the Final Reckoning champ, Hunter Barfield. Tickets available at ChallengeMania.com. Live.
Have you heard about this crazy event called Rugged Maniac? It's coming to Tampa for the first time ever on April 18th. They built this huge adult playground with giant water slides, fire jumps, rope swings, and tons of mud. Then they let 5,000 people party all day at their festival, complete with DJs, interactive games, and tons of craft beer. It's seriously the wildest event coming to Tampa this year, and the best part, there's still space available to sign up. Go to ruggedmaniac.com and secure your spot for their Tampa race on April 18th. Don't miss out. Grab your friends and join the fun.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
For all of your printing needs, I strongly suggest you give 72hourprint.com a call at 888-724-7774. Need business cards or t-shirts printed? I suggest you go to 72hourprint.com. If you need a banner or some signs printed, I strongly suggest you check out 72hourprint.com. If you need fight shorts or a walkout banner printed, I again suggest you check out 72hourprint.com or give them a call at 888-724-7774. If you're tired of high print prices, then I strongly suggest you give 72hourprint.com a call today. I did, and I could not be happier. And I know you will as well. That's 72hourprint.com. 72hrprint.com.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I'm Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, and if you don't listen to Knockout Radio, you may just find yourself in one of my jails.
All right, we are back coming live from Tour de Pizza. Coming up momentarily, Jimmy Denning was at the Wilder Fury fight. But right now, let's bounce back up to Norfolk as we get ready for UFC Fight Night Saturday. Your good friend.
My boy, the guy that got me kicked out of UFC 25th anniversary.
Luis Pena. Luis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys?
Not too bad. A lot of good stuff going down. First and foremost, and we are going to talk about the fight, I promise. Do you already have your WrestleMania tickets?
Oh man, no, I don't actually.
Well, we need to get something done then.
Yeah.
I think, you know what's funny though? Xavier Woods actually hit me up on Twitter. He's a really, really big fan of mine. He told me anytime I want to go to any event, he said he got tickets for me. So I guess I might as well just, you know, hit up Xavier, see if I can't get old Consequences Creed to hook me up.
Here's the thing. It's not just WrestleMania. It's everything else that's going to go on in Tampa for those 4 or 5 days. It is my favorite event I've ever been to, and that's the Saturday before WrestleMania, where they have the big fan expo, and every older wrestler is there. And
I've never been able to attend one of those.
You need to come to this. Come hang with – I'm going to go with King Mo. Come with King Mo and myself. We'll hang out on Saturday. We'll eat pizza here at Torta Pizza, and then we'll go meet all these old-time wrestlers. Well, Ric Flair. No, you're working.
Then I finally get the liner that I've been chasing down for 2 years.
It's funny you say that because Mo just showed up, actually. So I'm going to go ahead and put that idea in his ear and see if we can't get it all worked out.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that. Talk to me about – I saw one of the videos about – Your birth father is there in Norfolk. He's an officer in the Navy. And, you know, that whole thing about meeting some of the family and the military there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, man, it's really cool. It's actually really, really cool that you asked me about this because I just got back from a tour of the Naval base down here facilitated by my dad in the UFC. It was really cool. I got to see a gunship and go see where the SEALs train and everything. It was really cool for me. My mom, my biological mother, is also she's a master chief in the Navy, and she was out here in Norfolk for a long time as well. And just out of nowhere, I ended up getting to like view the exact places where she worked when she lived here. So it was really cool. But last night I got to meet my little brother, my biological little brother, for the very first time. And, kind of sit down, talk to him with my dad there and everything. It was a little awkward, you know, with two grown adults trying to figure out each other. But at the end of the day, it was cool. It's nice to be able to bond with someone, you know, another person in my family. And then, not only that, but to kind of like, you know, have someone, you know, that kind of looks up to you.
Sure. I mean, it's family, you know, so it definitely is cool. And as a veteran that was stationed in the Norfolk area, I've always thought it was cool when the UFC did go to Norfolk. I think it's their second time there. Most people don't realize, and I'm sure your dad, you know, might have told you this, the largest military facility between Norfolk, Damnick, Little Creek, everything that's there. I mean, that is basically our hub, not only for in the U.S., but worldwide. I mean, you can't go anywhere without running into any military there in the Norfolk area.
Exactly. It was really cool. I not only did I get done with the Naval base tour, I just got done with a bunch of local interviews, and my dad was able to sit on them with me. That's kind of what he said too, is like, it's really it's cool for him because there's such a huge military presence here in town. And with me fighting on the card, there's just so much support from his military family to everybody around for me going into this fight.
Very cool. Tell him you want one of his coins.
You know, it's crazy. He actually gave you some challenge coins. It's really cool.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, you definitely.
Not only that, but the staff, when we were done with the tour, they presented me with a flag. So that was really, really cool.
Wow. And again, the flag to me, you know, the veteran thing and me, I mean, to me, that's the coolest. And, you know, with that being your family as well, you know, it means even more, you know, because
exactly. It kind of left me speechless, you know, when they handed it to me, because I wasn't expecting it. But to be able to kind of sit there and get that, you know, it's a symbol that my parents, you know, they they've put their lives towards defending. You know what I mean? Like, they've dedicated and sacrificed a lot of time in their lives to protecting that flag and upholding that flag. So it meant a lot to me to get one from where they both have been stationed before.
Sure. Absolutely. Now, will they be at the fight on Saturday?
My mom, unfortunately, will not. She's working in Sacramento right now. But my dad, my little brother, pretty much my entire biological father's side of the family is going to be there. A lot of them are coming in from Tennessee. So I'm going to have a pretty big contingent of Violent Bob Ross fans out there.
That's awesome. That is very cool. Talk to us about the emotions, you know, that you've had to go through the past week of, you know, the change of opponent. Will you fight? Who are you going to fight? Did that bother you at all, or did you know that it would get worked out?
You know, I'm not going to lie. That was probably one of the biggest hurdles to get over with this was, you know, I found out that my fight, that I didn't have an opponent Saturday, and I didn't get a replacement until I landed in Norfolk on Monday. So I was, you know, I'm sitting there, sitting on my hands, just wondering, am I even going to fight? Like, you know what I mean? And when you go into that mode, it's a very, you've almost taken yourself out of like that and the intensity that that camp puts you in. So it was like not even trying, but just telling myself none of that matters, you know, and it really doesn't. At the end of the day, I know what I can do, and I know that every time it's time to go, I come out and perform.
Well, and I guess that kind of, you know, I always say about game plans and how do you have a game plan when you don't know what the opponent's going to do the first second. And in this case, it's going to prove that. You just found out who your opponent is. It's not even enough time to worry about it. It's only important to know what you're going to do, not what he's going to do.
Exactly. You know, I mean, and when it comes down to like game plans, I've never been a big game plan guy in the first place. I feel like I've watched enough video on my new opponent now to kind of at least know what to expect, know what I'm dealing with out there. But at the end of the day, you know, I really wasn't going out there with much of a game plan against Munoz other than keeping it on the feet and knocking him out.
Right. What can we expect to see Saturday night on ESPN Plus?
Devastation. You can expect to see Violent Bob Ross at his most violent. You know what I mean? Like the move from AKA to American Top Team has really, really helped me refine a lot of things. I feel as though I've sharpened some of the swords I got. I'm ready to go in there, and I'm ready to show everybody what this new version of me is capable of.
Final question for you, and as always, we appreciate your time. Who would your dream tag team partner be?
Oh, dream tag team partner? Without a doubt. The Texas Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
There you go. Luis, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold. We're going to get all your information for another package from 8 Man Strong, and I still have that second box for you of DVDs that are going in the mail this week.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
And then I'm looking forward to seeing you in Tampa for WrestleMania.
Of course. Yes. No, most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, we just got to hurry up. They have me doing so much stuff.
But we'll put you on hold. We'll get your information. I'll get everything out to you. Violent Bob Ross, thank you very much for your time. That is awesome. And you need to stay away from him.
What do you mean?
You're stalking him or something.
I'm not stalking him. I just got to get the liner. I got liners from Hogan. I got liners from everybody. I just can't get it from Luis Payne.
All right, before we run out of time, let's go to our final interview of the afternoon. He was there in person for Saturday night, covering it not only for his show, but for ours as well. He's known as Little Jimmy Denning. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. So we had Ray Flores on a little bit earlier, was one of the ring announcers. Talk to me about just the atmosphere. Just how electric was it?
Oh, yeah. It was incredible. It was incredible. And it was kind of akin. Vegas hasn't seen that in boxing since Ricky Hatton, our great kind of light welterweight. Ricky used to bring, you know, 6,000 or 7,000 British fans over, and they're very loud. And I suppose you would liken it to the effect that Conor McGregor has whenever he fights here in Vegas. But the atmosphere was electric, but I think it was a little bit special because of the nature of the fight and the nature of the first fight, the way that it went down, the anticipation. And at the end of the day, it's the heavyweight championship. Do you know what I mean? It's the Super Bowl of combat sports to hold that title. And the place was absolutely bouncing. It was incredible. And I'm very pleased that our guy won. But then I'm biased.
You know, I was kind of getting a little upset at, you know, the keyboard warriors and the people that were saying what they were saying about Deontay and on and on. And then he comes out with his legs were tired from the 40-pound costume.
I know. Well, funnily enough, I spoke to a friend of mine who was he's just retired from the U.S. Marine Corps. And he said on a good day, he says our Bergen packs were 50, 60 yep. pounds. He says, and we'd be running for eight hours a day. He says, well, I don't quite know how a top-level sportsman that's earning $25 million can use that as an excuse. To be honest with you, that seemed like a really petty excuse. Just admit that you were you got your tactics wrong. Just admit right. that, you know, he was the better man on the night and people will have a hell of a lot more respect for you. You know what I mean?
And that's what, you know, right after the fight, that's what he said. You know, he said all of yeah. the right things. And then all of a sudden he came up with that and now he's going to fire Mark Breland. And, you know, I talked to Ray about that. You want people in your corner who are not yes men who will do what's best for you.
Yeah, 100%. The person that should be fired from Deontay Wilder's camp, and I don't know their camp too well. I know a few of the guys that work with Tyson Fury, but I don't know a lot of the guys very well at Deontay Wilder's camp. But Jay Dias, who is one of his head trainers, you know, has had 42 fights to teach him that you need to throw a punch to set up a knockout punch. That's right. Basic standard boxing. You know, you need to throw. Deontay Wilder's big weapon is that big right hand. We all know it's coming. We all know how devastating it is. But in order to really trigger the kind of power that he can throw, 9 times out of 10, you either have to feint a left jab, or you have to throw a left jab to give you the power that you need. And he was, I mean, it was all basic stuff. But like I said, Wilder is a fighter. He's not a boxer, and Fury is both of those things, and you're never going to win. But the idea that they can criticize so publicly, by the way, a former two-time world champion in Mark Breland, who saw it necessary to protect his fighter, with having all of the experience in and out of the ring that he has, I think is ridiculous, and I think it shows a distinct lack of class. You know, at the end of the day, I know this is a sport, I know this is entertainment, but the safety of the combatants is paramount, you know?
I'm sure that they didn't think of this when Deontay started to say about the costume and the unsportsmanlike class yeah. and this stuff. But now as there will be a third fight, and we knew all along there would be a third fight, now there's yeah. going to be a good guy and a heel. I don't think Deontay was ever looked at as the heel, as the bad guy, as the people that disliked him. But now he yeah. is that. Can that sell more tickets than they've already sold?
I don't know. I mean, I was told after the fight that there's a very good chance that this fight won't happen until at least about this time next year. And with the brand new Raiders Stadium here in Vegas being the venue. Now, I think they'll sell the tickets, no problems whatsoever. I don't think there's going to be any problems with that. And the funny thing is, you've met Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder is a very nice, humble awesome. Guy. He's plenty of time for the fans. He's a really decent guy, and as is Tyson Fury. They're both men of good character and all that kind of stuff. But I think Fury is much the same as Conor McGregor in the sense that he can get inside your head. And he genuinely believes everything he says. Genuinely. You know, he doesn't put himself on a pedestal to not get beat. He says, if I get hit by one of those big bombs, I'm going to go. And that's the end of that. But you won't hit me. And all the way through the last few weeks of the press, and everybody was just talking about how difficult it must be to face someone like Tyson Fury, because he gets inside your head before you even fight. You know, he actually told him. He actually said at every interview how I'm going to approach this fight. And he did it. No, and that rarely happens, you know.
Right.
He obviously uses the tactic to, deflect. But, you know, Fury says, from the bell, I'm going to push you back, and I'm going to be aggressive, and I'm going to knock you out or stop you. And from the first bell, he did that. And I don't think Wilder's ever had that.
Jimmy, when you said that if Tyson Fury said it, he backed it up, he said he wanted to taste Deontay Wilder's blood, and he did that as well.
Yeah. I know. Well, there we go. I mean, someone said, to be honest with you, there was someone from Wilder's camp. I don't think he was too official, if you know what I mean. But you know how a lot of these fighters have a lot of hangers-on and people that are just looking for a free lunch. And there was one guy at the press conference who was just continuously screaming about how the fight should be scrubbed off and Fury should be disqualified for licking his blood. Which was greeted by the press corps with some hilarity, let me tell you.
So, do you really think this fight won't happen for a year?
That's what I was told. Because they really, from Fury's camp, I know that they're quite interested in making sure his cut is healed again. Right. I know from a few back channel friends. I won't mention any names. I don't want to get anyone into any trouble, but that they're talking about Fury fighting Anthony Joshua at Wembley Stadium in the summer. But they have to go through. Obviously, we have governing body issues. Everything has to line up. Everybody has to agree, which rarely happens in boxing, unfortunately. But there's a very good chance that in the summer, sort of end of July, August, we could see Fury versus Joshua. I personally think Joshua isn't going to win that fight. And then, looking 6 months down the line for a Wilder and Fury rematch. And I also think Wilder needs to have a couple of tune-up fights just to get his confidence back, because that was pretty devastating the way he was sure. put away with such relative ease. He did look like a little bit of an amateur, which is
yeah. He looked outclassed. He definitely
he
did
looked
look
completely
outclassed.
In the wrong game. Yeah, Jimmy, so I would assume we'd have the middle of the summer, Joshua Fury. I think Fury will win that, and then hopefully back here in Vegas for the third installment at the Raider Stadium, I believe is the plan. But you didn't hear it here.
I didn't hear it from you. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. I'm glad you had a good time there. I will be out there shortly to hang out with you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Amen to that, mate. Thank you so much.
That is Little Jimmy. You can catch him in Las Vegas on the Strip, Tenors of Rock. They are unbelievable. We are out of time. I want to thank all of our guests. I want to thank 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. This is
Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Response.